It's the Morning Report on FM 90.1, WOI-FM, Ames and Des Moines. Time for the news.
Don Forsling greeted WOI radio listeners that way each weekday morning for nearly 40 years. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we remember broadcast legend Don Forsling. He passed away last week at the age of 80. He was on the air in Iowa for more than 50 years and on WOI Radio for most of that time. He was the station manager for many years, but he's best known to Iowans as host of The Morning Report, a morning variety show on WOI-FM. Today, we'll look back on his career and hear from friends and coworkers about the man they knew so well. Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Longtime Iowa broadcaster and public radio pioneer Don Forsling passed away last week at the age of 80. We are going to spend the next hour looking back at Don's career and remembering a gifted, brilliant, and very funny man. The very first day he was on the air was April 10th, 1953. At only 15 years old, he landed an announcing job on KSCJ in his hometown of Sioux City. Later on, he DJed and hosted a show called Teen Time. He earned a political science degree at the University of Iowa, and then he made his way to WOI Radio in Ames. He spent nearly 40 years on the air at WOI. He was station manager, hosted a daily morning variety program called The Morning Report on WOI-FM. We'll hear some excerpts from that later on in the hour. And he also hosted this program, Talk of Iowa, for many years. Don was one of the early adopters of a more personal on-air delivery. He shared his thoughts on that approach when he retired in February of 2006.
My approach, the thing that I think is most important, and it's just something I wanted to remember, I guess, to mention, is I try to use the word you a lot. It's not much of a technique. It's just the way I feel about the folks listening. There's something to that. It makes a difference to me, and I think it makes a difference to anybody listening.
Don was also an important part of the public radio revolution when public radio stations around the country were brought together as a network and national public radio was created to provide content to those stations. He was a member of the board of directors that guided the course of NPR as the service was getting started in the early 1970s. And here Don reflects on how he got to see that service grow.
To think that NPR started with, you know, about four employees back in the early 1970s, and now NPR is by far the largest radio news and public affairs broadcasting organization in the country.
Don hosted his last show on February 24th of 2006. This hour, we're going to hear from some of the many people who worked with and were influenced by Don. I am one of those people. He was one of my greatest teachers in radio. I use things he taught me every single day on the air, and he was also a very dear friend of mine. The first person we're going to hear from today is Rick Lewis. He started his career at WOI. He went on to work at NPR. He returned to WOI as general manager in the 90s and later helped to found Audible.com. He recorded this remembrance for us from his home in rural Ecuador.
Don Forsling gave me my first real job in radio. And I wasn't the first he set on that path. I wouldn't be the last either. In 1967, when I came to Iowa State in search of radio and journalism courses, I read a sample script and he hired me on the spot as a late night announcer. These were the days of Dallas McGinnis and Wayne Olson and, yes, a much younger Doug Brown. I left after college, and when I returned from a stint in the Peace Corps, there were big changes afoot. While I was away, something called NPR had been organized. There was a weeknight news program called All Things Considered, Don said. He added, it's co-hosted by a woman, and she's not that bad. This last part was said with a degree of incredulity. a measure of how broadcasting in the 1970s had precious few prominent women, and how this new kind of radio was about to change that, starting with a woman named Susan Stamberg. What Don barely mentioned was the fact that he was a member of NPR's founding board of directors. He'd long been an innovator in educational radio. Now he would do much the same in transforming it into public radio. In later years, more than one member of those original NPR boards told me how Don would sit quietly through hours of discussion and then summarize everything in about 10 words, crystallizing the issues in ways no one else could manage to do. Back at WOI, Don made bold moves the order of the day. His was the only station outside of Minnesota to broadcast a fledgling variety show called A Prairie Home Companion until 1980, when satellites gave the music the fidelity it deserved. Until then, he arranged to get the tapes and broadcast them a week later. Sometimes he drove up and got them himself. When WOI AM qualified for a separate federal grant, he sank the whole thing into a new morning program modeled on the Canadian show called As It Happens. He invested in more people. Studios were remodeled. He liked the sound of the iconic hourly time tone on CBS radio, so he had one built. Under Don's guidance, WOI was a prolific contributor of news stories to the young NPR, even though he knew he risked having his staff recruited by NPR to go to Washington. I was, and others followed. We were friends for 50 years. Occasionally, there were long, strange trips of a journalistic nature to Nicaragua, Ecuador, and Costa Rica. It was on the last of these that a fellow traveler admonished him for being in a cranky mood. "Oh, be nice, Don," she said. "This is as nice as I get," was his reply. He had a rich and dark sense of humor that only ripened and deepened with age. No one substituting for him on the air could match it, and nobody tried. I'm hearing from a lot of old colleagues this week. A retired radio executive wrote, "He had a wonderful sense of his craft." A veteran international broadcaster called him an American original and added, "I was blessed to know him." Don's career spanned many decades, but at that pivotal moment in the transition from educational to public radio, he was part of a small group of young professionals who saw the possibilities with a degree of clarity that few others did. It's that kind of vision that made public radio what it has become. It's why you're listening right now.
That was Rick Lewis remembering Don Forsling, both as a friend, a fellow broadcaster, and as a pioneer of public radio as it is today. Next, I want to bring Jim Pease into the program. Now, of course, you hear Jim on this show still. On our wildlife days, well, the first person to invite Jim on the air to do wildlife days was Don Forsling, and he was one of Don's favorite guests. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Very good. So let's think back about Don as a guest on the program. What was it like to be interviewed by him?
Well, you know, I was looking back in my records, and he interviewed me a number of times, he and others. I was on the program, on the morning edition program, and it was mention made of his sense of humor, and his sense of humor would always come through with little remarks and this little smirk out of the side of his mouth that I could always tell he was pulling my leg, and so we got along quite well, and he was very much into the outdoors and wildlife, much more than I think people would think. He was into, I know his obituary said he was into motorcycles, and he certainly was into trains, and yet I can tell you privately he was also very much excited about wolves and very interested in wolves. I had
even a little obsessed with wolves.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I didn't want to use that word, but you bet. Yeah, he was very, very interested in wolves and wolf recovery programs and other things. And I had at that time been backpacking on Isle Royale National Park, where the wolf-moose interaction has been studied for well over half a century, and so we would frequently strike up a conversation of what was happening with the wolves. He never let this be known on the air, but he was, I think, not just a secret admirer, but he was always rooting for the wolves to be successful predators along the way.
He did have a strong aversion to snakes, though, right?
Well, he did. I was sort of famous for bringing things into the studio. My department, the Animal Ecology Department at Iowa State, had large collections of skulls and furs and birds and things, and so I would always bring something on the air with me. And he kept reminding me, Jim, this is a radio program. And I said, well, Don, if I hold it really close to the mic, it'll be more visual. But it was easier for me to describe things to people if it was something sitting right in front of me. And I found that hosts, including yourself later on, frequently like that because the host would then ask the questions that that the public would about whatever it was I was bringing into the studio. So people would gather around as I walk into the studio. What'd you bring today? Let's see that. And Don was always in favor of that. He found that quite fun. But he said, snakes, Jim, because he knew I did a lot of teaching about snakes with live snakes. I had a large boa constrictor for large crowds and a fox snake for smaller groups. And he said, that's where I put my foot down. If you ever bring that snake into the studio, you're going to be in here doing the show on your own. So I never did. I did bring a snake skin a time or two, an old shed skin, and that seemed to be about it as far as he would go with that. But he didn't want the live snake in the studio.
Well, Jim, we have about 30 seconds left. How do you think Don should be remembered?
Well, I think he should be remembered for his the contributions he made that have really been, I think, you're detailing them well. But he was an unsung hero, I think, of public radio in Iowa, and had a way with the public that is unmatched, I think, by anyone. He was a great voice and a great pioneer.
Jim Pease, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jim Pease, wildlife biologist, a regular guest on Talk of Iowa for a very long time, over 25 years, maybe 30 years at this point. This hour, we are remembering Don Forsling, a legendary Iowa broadcaster, and he was on WOI Radio for more than 40 years. You're welcome to share your remembrances as well. Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. We're going to listen to one of Don's favorite songs, The City of New Orleans, recorded by the man who wrote it, Steve Goodman. This is Talk of Iowa.
Passing towns that have no name and freight yards full of old black men and the graveyards of rusted automobiles. Singing good morning, America, how are you? Don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm just the train they call the City of New Orleans.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are remembering broadcaster Don Forsling. He had a career that lasted more than 50 years in Iowa radio, about 40 years of that spent at WOI Radio in Ames, which is now, of course, part of Iowa Public Radio. And we're going to hear a little bit from Don's show, which he hosted for 40 years. It was called The Morning Report. It was a morning variety show on WOI-FM. And I was a student employee at WOI starting back in 1994, and I became the student producer of that show. And Don gave me an unprecedented opportunity. He was not a man who really loved to mentor students, but somehow I made my way into his heart and onto his program. He gave me the opportunity to write for the show, and he would try pretty much anything. This segment is called Coffee with the Classics, which was my most successful invention for Don Forsling, and you'll get a taste of his humor and just his incredible sense of fun.
Well, once again, in response to almost no demand that I could detect, it's time for Coffee with the Classics. The reason we're doing this is to kind of make amends to those of you who have felt offended with the quality of our program from time to time, complaining about its lack of, total lack, some of you said, of intellectual content, disgrace to a mighty university, and things like that. So I think it is time to get on with Coffee with the Classics. Here roughly is the deal. Charity and I are going to give a little dramatic presentation from a classic piece of literature, and then we'll give you a multiple choice list of carefully selected classics. And the first one of you who calls will win some really stupendous prizes. Charity, why don't you fill the folks in on what they can win this morning?
Well, Don, each winner will receive a brand new glossy WOI refrigerator magnet in a stunning turquoise and black.
Wow.
They will also receive one of our now famous Coffee with the Classics Scratch and Sniff Certificate of Achievement, suitable for framing.
So once again, fantastic prizes await you, so it's time to get started. Eh, what I say. I speak true when I say that buck two devils.
That Spitz fight like a devil.
And that buck fight like two devils. And now we make good time. No more Spitz, no more trouble, sure. There they go, see? All right. Now, the thing we want you to do is identify that scene. Tell us from which literary masterpiece that came.
All right, that was just an excerpt, painful to listen to on my part, but an excerpt from The Morning Report with Don Forsling. And again, he hosted that show for 40 years on WOI. It was always unexpected and brilliant and fun. He played music throughout the show as well and had an eclectic taste in music. He played some great stuff. He played the kinds of things that would get stuck in your head and you could never get them out. And I want to bring a couple more people into the conversation who worked with Don for many years. Don Wirth is here. He was the business manager at WOI Radio for a long time. Hello, Don.
Hello, Charity.
And Jake Graves is also here. Jake Graves, who gave me my first job in radio. He was a classical music announcer and the manager of student employees at WOI for many years. Hello, Jake.
Hi, Charity.
And I would love for the two of you to reflect a little bit on something that I think so many listeners remember about Don, and that is fundraising, because for a long time, public radio didn't have to do any fundraising. And then, of course, we started to have to do fundraising. And Don did not want it to be boring, and he did his best to make fundraising fun. He was the master of it. And Don Wirth, you got to fundraise with him for many years. What do you remember about Don on the air during the fundraisers?
That was the only role I ever had on the air, was to sit in with Don during the fundraising. I think part of it was that he was so intimidating to everyone else with his preparation, and they didn't want to feel second class to him. And since I had no on-air ego, I couldn't be damaged.
Don was a little scary.
So between the two of us, we became the two Dons of morning fundraising. And the thing was that Don prepared as much for that as he did any interview, any program he ever prepared. You would go in there, he would have his scripts, he would have his playlists, he would tell the board up, okay, this is the sequence we're going to go through these, and when I give you the point to, you play that. And these weren't, long segments. Some of them would be 15 seconds, and the board op had to be paying close attention because Don would go through some of those in rapid fire. And so, but yes, he created humor and fun within it. The trolls that were under the underpasses on I-235 when calls weren't coming in, they were out to stop people and take their pledges right there. The old lonely challenge we had for Maytag, that was some of the fun.
That was to get the final phone line ring because we had 10 lines back in those days.
Yep, we had 10 lines, and then if the 10th line rang, Maytag would give us an extra $500. And Don would, we had a system in the studio where you could see the number of phones that were lighting. And as soon as that third or fourth light went, didn't matter what was up. If I was saying something, whoop, look, we got four. All right, now we can go and we'll count them down. And then we were in an auction to get that 10th one to ring. And but Don, as I said, he prepared for it. I think he thought it was as a lot of the on-air producers do, it was something that was out of their realm of comfort. But he still was a master of it and raised it to an art level that I never worked with anyone else who was to that level. And so it was always fun working with him.
One of the things about Don, he was so great on the air. He really, truly was a master. But he had impossibly high standards for himself. I never knew him to be pleased with his performance. And he was self-deprecating all the time. So, you know, some of that was to be funny, but I think a lot of it was sincere. He was so hard on himself, and he had really high standards for the rest of us as well. I said he was scary. He was a little scary because of that. But I mean, Jake, when you think about the work that he did to shape WOI, I think that's part of what made it such a tremendous radio service, because Don was always pushing, wasn't he?
Yes. In fact, I think I heard you use the word terrifying, or that you were terrified.
Yes.
The first day you ran the board for him. And I didn't think of it that way. But he had a vision for the medium, the art, the craft, and he was so creative. But he saw, knew who he was talking to, and wanted to make it entertaining for them. And so it was purposeful. But yes, demanding, he every detail, he was quite, he had evidently a good sense of hearing, and which persisted even into his very last years, partly in things that he said that were in a humorous fashion about people talking too loud to him, too loudly. But you know, the just the nitty gritty of running the board, having the VU meter, and you know, running that at a proper level so that it's just right for the listener. And there were so many details. The news production, Steve Kuhn, who was a grad assistant and read the news in the early days, remarked about his mentoring. I mean, the mentoring was the demand of what was needed for this business. And I had thought about it for a long time until, you know, in the last couple of days, as you asked for reflections, but it's what was needed.
And we don't have a lot of time because there are a lot of people who want to join this conversation today. But Don Wirth, how do you like to think about Don? I mean, I know that you adored him on the air and personally. How do you like to remember him?
Well, in two ways. First, as Rick Lewis was saying, a true visionary in that, you know, WI's been on the air for 96 years now, and in the first 40 years, the icon was Andrew Wolfries. The next 40 years were Don Forsling and Doug Brown. And now, even today, you talk to people, their names come to it. Rick talked about what Don did for WI, but also for the network. And one that Jake and I were talking about earlier was getting us on the 2,000-foot tower, the FM station, and what a power that was because of doing that. The other was, you know, following up on what Jim Pease was saying, is that people didn't think he knew as much about things as he did, but that was by design. I think he created his questions in such a way that he drew the answers out from the people he was talking to, and they were the focus of the interview, and Don hid his light under a bushel basket, so to speak, by crafting those questions in such a way that, well, I'm the average listener. I don't know this, but can you tell me? And then even though he knew much more than he portrayed, but that to me was his excellence of the broadcasting. So from that, just the impact that he had on the industry from that, aside from my personal interactions with him, and he was always good for a good story, good laugh, and you know, as Jake said, just so many of those things have been boiling through over the last 3 days, but those two would be the ones that I think are the ones that I would put up there as the standards that I will always remember about Don.
Well, Don Wirth, thank you so much for being on the show today.
And thank you for asking me, Cherry.
And Jake Graves, thank you.
You're welcome.
Don Wirth and Jake Graves, they both worked at WOI Radio for many years. Don Wirth was the business manager, and Jake Graves was on the air as a classical music announcer and also managed the student employees. And I want to bring another WOI alumna into the conversation now. Karen Bryan was on the air at WOI Radio for many years. You would have heard her as a classical music announcer, and she also hosted Stage and Screen, and she is with us on the phone from Utah. Hello, Karen.
Hello, Charity. Hello, everybody.
Oh, it's so great to hear your voice. And
oh.
Well, Karen, let's talk about Don. What? How do you like to remember him?
Well, I like to think of him behind that microphone, because if ever there was a virtuoso, he was one of the finest I've ever encountered. And it's a funny thing. It was Doug Brown, on his own, who brought me out there in 1977. And I didn't even get introduced to Don for some time after that. And I'll tell you, once I was in there and I was working, and they put me on the air right away. There was nothing in the way of a probationary period. I don't know how long it was before I even knew who Don Forsling was. And I would see him, and it would seem to me that he would avoid eye contact with all human beings in the place, and just scurry into his office and kind of disappear. I wasn't even aware if he knew my name. And it took me literally years to figure out that he didn't personally hate me, simply because there was no personal interaction. I certainly never sat down and talked to him during that first 6 months or a year. I knew he was the boss, and that was all I knew. And I also knew that once that microphone opened, there was somebody completely unexpected, different, brilliant on the air. He was born to sit behind a microphone the way that Vladimir Horowitz was born to play the piano, or Sinatra was born to sing. And it's just a good thing he discovered early on that that was what he needed to do, that was what he had to do, and that was what he was brilliant at.
It really did transform him. I mean, I think of him as a shy man in real life, which is not anything ever would have thought of when they heard him on the radio.
No, no. He was the guy at social gatherings. He'd be over in the corner with his eyes staring down the carpet. And and kind of avoiding eye contact in that situation, too. If you sat down and talked to him one-on-one, you could kind of draw him out, and he could become your friend, but it would take a while. I have known a number of people who were brilliant radio people, but had this form of social awkwardness that you almost think of as being on the autism spectrum. And I don't know, I think I'm probably one of them. But Don just absolutely shone once that microphone opened. And when I think about him, I think about the morning report and how he somehow prepared for that every day, 6 o'clock in the morning, and made it seem absolutely spontaneous, kind of like the way Fred Astaire danced.
He was amazing. Oh, Karen, I'm so glad you could join us today.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure. I don't like to think of him as gone. I wish that there were a way that people who have that kind of talent could be with us forever.
Yeah. Well,
it's so rare.
His influence definitely lives on. And Karen, thank you. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. We miss you so much.
Oh, great to hear yours,
I miss
too.
You so much. That's
Karen
Bryan, who was a classical music announcer on WOI for many years. She also produced and hosted Stage and Screen. We're going to go to a break here listening to one of Don's favorite songs. He loved to play Blossom Dearie on The Morning Report. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
And you come from Rhode Island, and little old Rhode Island is famous for you. Cotton comes from Louisiana, gophers from Montana, and spuds from Idaho. They plow land.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are remembering Don Forsling, who passed away last week at the age of 80. He had a broadcast career in Iowa that spanned more than 50 years. He spent more than 40 years at WOI Radio, which is now part of Iowa Public Radio. He was the host of a morning program called The Morning Report on WOI FM and the original host of this program, Talk of Iowa, and did many, many other things through the years. He was also the station manager at WOI for a long time. We have this remembrance from Virginia. She says, I loved his morning show, especially the train songs. I always looked forward to Santa Baby at Christmas time and also naming the chickens at Living History Farms as part of fundraisers. And we mentioned earlier, he was an incredibly creative on-air fundraiser. Next, we're going to hear from Michael Gartner, former president of NBC News and Pulitzer Prize-winning editor of the Ames Tribune and many, many other things in Iowa and around the nation. He was also a longtime WOI listener and a good friend of Don's. I asked him how he would characterize Don Forsling as a broadcaster.
Well, first of all, he was more than a broadcaster, you know. I mean, he was an executive there at the station as well. He and Doug Brown really were WOI for a generation. On the air, he was a guy with eclectic tastes, except in music. He loved saloon singers, especially obscure ones. He knew them all. He knew all the music. He would the morning mix of music was absolutely fantastic. Whether he was playing Marlene Verplanck, who I noticed just died the other day, or Bobby Short, or Mabel Mercer, or Wessel Whitfield, he just had this grand knowledge of kind of cafe society singers. So that was great. And then he had this wonderful sense of the obscure, finding the something really obscure in the news to talk about. And it was just a great way to start the morning. You know, you'd start listening to Don. He had this wonderful sense of humor. He played this wonderful music. He had spectacular news judgment. And then at the end of the show, on would come Doug Brown with a morning march to get you all fired up to start the day. I mean, I don't think I missed a day for 5 years of his show in the morning.
Both Don and Doug Brown had such a personal approach on the air, and they were really some of the early adopters of that very personal approach to talking to the listener as if they were there with you in the room. I mean, they both, I felt like they were just masters of connecting with
people. It was a conversation, and sometimes it was a two-way conversation. I mean, he'd say something, and I'd send him an email right away, and then he'd read the email. Say, well, here's what one listener says, and put on, and then discuss that for a while. It was very loose. You know, he could shift gears when he had to, if something was interesting, to keep it going. And he had this great knowledge of the world and of this, and of, especially of the state, and certainly of music and of radio. I mean, there's never been anything in Iowa, at least, like those two guys, and they complemented each other well. They were not alike in kind of in any sense of the word. But, man, did they put out a wonderful, wonderful radio station.
Do you have a favorite memory of Don?
The favorite memory of him was I worked at NBC for a while, and he was a classmate of Tom Brokaw at the University of Iowa. Brokaw went to Iowa for 1 year, and he was very proud of it. You know, he talked about, I'm not sure he knew him very well or anything, but I remember one time I was talking to Don, and he said he'd run into Brokaw somewhere, and Brokaw looked at him and said, "Hi, Jim." And it just crushed him. I think it was Jim. It might have been Joe, but it just crushed him. And he referred to himself sometimes when he'd call me. He'd say, "This is Jim" or "This is Joe." You know that. so he kind of felt. Oh, that's what it's come to, you know. They don't even know my name anymore. But he was then, as he got older and he had some kind of memory lapses, I would go out and visit him. He was in a facility out west of West Des Moines, and one time I walked in, I think it was I was with Art New, and we were talking to him, and he carried on a fine conversation. I was never quite sure why he was there, but I said, "Do you watch much television?" He knew I was a big liberal, and he says, "Yeah." He says, "I watch Fox News all the time." But then he stopped and he looked at me and he says, "But don't worry." He says, "I forget it right away."
Oh, well, Michael, when you think about Don Forsling's legacy, which is something that I think about quite a bit, what do you think his legacy is in radio?
I think he has two legacies. First of all, I believe that he and Doug set WI on the course it needed to be on for a generation. So he had a legacy of establishing a great radio station, or at least co-establishing a great radio station. The other legacy is, I think he educated a whole generation of Iowans. He educated them about music. He educated them about news. He educated them about history. He was quite a history buff. And, of course, if anything ever came up about railroad trains, I mean, you're in for a 15-minute lecture, because he was the world's leading expert on railroads. And he would go ride trains in the summer. But he would greatly object to this word, but he had an elegance about him, I believe, with his on-air presence. While he was wry and sometimes caustic, he would never belittle anything or anyone, and he was just had this great taste in music and books. In what he put on the air, and it lent a class and an elegance to Iowa and to WOI that were just wonderful to hear and see and listen to.
Michael Gartner, thank you so much.
Sure, nice to be with you.
Michael Gartner, of course, a longtime WOI listener, a good friend of Don Forsling's. And I want to hear now from Todd Mundt. He is a senior managing editor with Here and Now at WBUR in Boston. But once upon a time, he was a student employee at WOI Radio. He later returned as the host of Morning Edition and Midday on WOI. He grew up in Boone, Iowa, and I asked him when he first started listening to Don Forsling.
I was probably 10 years old when I discovered WOI at 640, and I didn't even know about the FM station probably for some time, or I didn't have an FM radio, if I remember correctly, at least at first. And so I would listen to what was on 640, and Don's voice was all over the station, not necessarily live, but you heard him announcing, you heard station identification. It was this very smooth, deep voice that was a little rough around the edges. And then when I got an FM radio, I heard Don live on the Morning Report, and I remember even as a kid in high school getting up early so that I could hear Don. I would hear a little bit of Morning Edition at 5 a.m. and then the Morning Report at 6. Don was just so funny. And so part of the, you know, thing to listen every day was not so much for the news or any of that. I just wanted to hear what Don was going to say.
So when you think about Don as a broadcaster, and of course you got to work with him later, both as a student employee and then as a professional broadcaster yourself, what do you think made him so memorable and just made him so effective on the air?
Don talked to people directly, and I think while that has become very common in public broadcasting now, maybe not as common as it should be, public radio back in those days, in the late 70s, early 80s, was a very stiff and formal affair. And Don just spoke to you as though you were the only person listening to him. He was also very relaxed, and he was exceptionally funny, and he was quick with his humor. So if something went wrong, you never had an awkward moment where you didn't know what was going on as a listener, because Don was always there to yuck his way through it and usually could say something that, you know, was often hilarious. So there was a kind of rapport with the audience that I think is difficult to establish, and some people never get it. But Don seems to have had it, at least from the very first moment I ever heard him on the radio.
You talk about him being relaxed, and he had such a relaxed delivery on the air. And listening to old tapes, you can just hear that. You mm-hmm. just feel at ease. Although in person, Don was not relaxed.
No.
Were you surprised at all when you met him and met the man behind the voice?
You know, what would surprise me was how much he worked at being so relaxed on the air, and how careful. I remember, you know, when you were working with him on the Morning Report, and how he would, because then he was kind of forced to reveal the kind of inner rehearsal that he always did before he went on the show or he went on radio. But he would often be nervous. I remember sometimes seeing his hand shaking, and I would think, that's not caffeine. That's actually Don. He's nervous about how this thing is going to play out. And it would always play out, to my ears at least, flawlessly. But it was interesting to see on the other side of the glass how hard he worked at being so relaxed and present on the radio. And I think, you know, that's the reality of what this is. It seems like it's just a guy in front of the microphone talking to you, but it is a performance, and Don always treated it as a performance, whether it was just hosting jazz, you know, where he'd walk in a studio and close the door behind him and come out an hour later after putting together a jazz show, or it was the kind of what almost felt like an ensemble performance that he would put on in the Morning Report.
He was such a perfectionist, and
yes.
I think about him criticizing himself. I mean, he was his own harshest critic all the time.
You know, all those times he would go in and he would listen to himself. He would tape the Morning Report and he would listen and he would listen and listen. And occasionally he would even comment to other people about things he heard, not always in a positive way, because he was really rough on himself.
Well, I think never in a positive way. I don't remember him ever saying something positive about his own performance. Do you have a favorite Don Forsling memory?
Not one that stands out, but I will say, you know, something that I came to enjoy, and it was probably in he may have been doing this in the 80s era, in the mid to late 80s. He decided to do a jazz show at night. And, you know, he's the manager, and basically the program director, essentially, for the station. So he could do what he wanted to do. It was that kind of era when, you know, stations were smaller. And he started this jazz show at 11 o'clock at night on 640 after it started evening broadcasting. And he... It was a whole different Don, because it sounded so relaxed and he had kind of a jazz vibe. You could almost imagine him sitting there with a cigarette in his hand, you know, like the classic jazz radio of the old days. And his music choices were really interesting. And so I guess, you know, what I kind of take away from that is not only the Don Forsling that I grew up with as being that kind of raucous, fascinating and funny person in the mornings, but also sometimes just that person who could flip and go another direction, almost like the Willis Conover, you know, who was the jazz host on The Voice of America for so many years, who could be that accompanying voice in the night. And that's a kind of versatility that, I mean, I, you know, as a broadcaster myself, I wish I had.
Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Todd Mund, who used to work at WOI Radio. I let the pre-taped guys have too much time, but I've got a couple more voices I want to work in. It's going to have to be brief, though. Mark Moran is with us, Associate General Manager of News at KJZZ, former WOI employee as well. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Charity. It's been a long time. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you. So in a minute, Mark, sum up how you remember Don.
All right. Don was curious, sarcastic, dark, iconic. And what a voice, my God. He was the quintessential broadcaster. It just all kind of culminated in this sense of humor that was just crazy. A quick memory, I was a board op at WOI, and he would look through into your soul when he would drop one of those incredibly sarcastic, witty lines. So he had an audience to look at while he was doing some deadpan humor, and we in the other room would just be dying and thinking, my God, this guy's a master. So, absolutely incredible. He'll be missed, and he was wonderful. And I've been rehearsing my Don Forsling WOI ID, so you're going to hear it.
Oh, good.
It would go something along the lines of this. This is live radio, but it would be something like, and this is the AM 640, WOI Ames and Des Moines. It's 10 o'clock. And then there would be the little time tone that he
right.
would do. That wasn't perfect, but it was close. I'm going to miss Don an awful lot.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much for being part of the show. We miss you an awful lot in Iowa. And I've got now 30 seconds for Doug Cooper. So Doug used to host Midday on WOI and worked with Don for many years. Hi, Doug.
Hi. I could just about echo everything that everyone has said. My memory with Don was... I have a couple, but I'll quickly do one. When I first came to Iowa State in extension as a market news director replacing Dallas McGinnis, Don called me up early in the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, and asked me what my thoughts were of doing the markets during all of this special reports that they were carrying. And I remember saying, well, why don't you just wait till all those reports are done and we'll try to summarize at the end. And I heard this, whew.
He was so relieved.
Dallas wanted to make sure the markets were on at the same time every day, regardless of what was happening in the world. So, and the other one was when Don started doing news on Midday, he pulled me aside and he said, I'll do the news for you, but no chit-chat. Don't ask me any questions, just introduce me, and I'll do the news, and then I'm going to quit. Then we started fundraising, and Don found out that he was quite funny on the air.
He was. He was. He was kind of the master of chit-chat.
And that's
after
right.
All that.
And I really enjoyed working with Don. Intimidating, yes. His voice was as good as anybody in the world. And he once told me he was too funky for public radio.
Well, too funky for public radio?
Yep. Yep, that's what he said.
All right. Well,
on his retirement day, he said that.
All right. Well, Doug Cooper, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Charity.
Always good
show.
To talk to you.
Yep, it's great to hear from you. Doug Cooper, now at WHO Radio. He was at WOI Radio for many, many years. This hour, we've been remembering Don Forsling. He was a longtime broadcaster at WOI Radio. He was there for 40 years. He had a broadcast career that started in Sioux City, Iowa, more than 50 years before he signed off the air. He was, some people said, the longest continuous broadcaster in the state of Iowa. He was also a very funny, brilliant man, and he is missed on the air. He is missed personally. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
Oh, what a wonderful song to wrap up years and years and years of Morning Reports on WOIFM. Johnny Mercer and the Pied Pipers, Johnny singing one of his own, one of his thousand or so compositions, Zippity Doodah. Okay, you have a nice day. Have a nice rest of your life. It's been fun. I've certainly enjoyed your company morning after morning through the years, and I hope you've enjoyed a little bit of what we have been bringing you over those years here on WOIFM. Well, what's going to be on this time spot Monday? I suspect if you tune in, you'll hear Morning Edition from National Public Radio. I'm Don Forsling for the Morning Report, and for the dozens and dozens of Iowa State students that have helped out in the control room over the years, and many others. Those of you who have sent mail with your suggestions for this, that, and sometimes the other thing, thank you. And, I don't know, can you identify this song? I can. The name of it is That's All.